Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
We have a Savior that loves us. He loves you, He loves me, He loves your family, He loves your children, He loves your grandchildren. We owe Him everything that we have. And in the midst of all of the chaos of the world today, God has made some promises. And that's what I want to draw your attention to this morning. And I pray that you'd understand that we're not called of God, if you were in Sunday school this morning in the book of Philippians, to be over anxious. Instead, we're to do the good work of God, the work that God has called us to. As a matter of fact, go to Philippians in chapter 4. Let's just start right there. Philippians in chapter 4. And everybody has a part in the work of God, even right here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And I don't want to cheat you out of any truth. I don't want to rob any joy of you or from you. I'm going to preach this morning, I'll tell you right now, and I've been saving what I'm going to preach on because I don't want to hear any kind of groan audibly, and certainly not audibly, but even on the inside of you. I want to preach on giving this morning. I do it once a year. I did it last year at this time. It was in November last year. I got it written down. I want to preach on giving. We got more people get born again. We got people been baptized. Actually, after tonight, it'll be 3 Sunday nights in a row, people getting baptized. We're thankful for that, but be getting born again. And with being born again, there's a responsibility for every child of God. That's what I'm going to preach here this morning. But before we get into that, go back to the book of Philippians. I hope you're already there. I am not. Let me summarize, and then I want to get to the great promise that I want to emphasize this morning. I did not mean to cover it this way in Sunday school this morning, so I'm not going to redo it, but here's what Paul says to the church at Philippi, other than just mention it. Number one, verse 2, he says, be unified. To the church, he says, get together. To the church at Philippi, he says, listen, you got to stay together, and more so at this time than any other time. The church of Jesus Christ is going to be standing alone, but not alone, we'll have God. And we need to stay together, stay unified. That's verse 2. Verse 4, he says, rejoice, be happy, rejoice in the Lord, not in your things, but in the Lord. He says in verse 5, be balanced, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Jesus is coming. So be even keel, learn to develop that in your life and in my life. Let's try not to be like the carnal Christian that's way up here and way down here. Way up here and way down, spiritually bipolar. We don't need that in the family of God. Paul is telling the church in Philippi, moderation, be balanced, stand up in the storm, trust God. And then he says, pray, verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he talks about the right and proper mindset, verse 8, with heaven in view. And then he says in verse 11, to be content. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. It's not about getting, it's about following in the family of God. I pray that you don't have a motive, you don't have a goal in your life to make lots of money. I pray with all of my heart that you are not about bowing down to the God of mammon so you can get a bigger paycheck. I pray that you don't have that idol in your life. Instead, you bow down, you bend your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do and want what God wants. And then God makes an over-the-top, bigger than this world, promise to the church at Philippi. And it's for you and for me. It's for the New Testament church that is a mission-minded church. Mission conference is in 2 weeks. It's for the New Testament church that is sending missionaries all over the world and helping missionaries on foreign fields and right here on home soil as well. Fundamental Baptist Church, I can tell you this with great satisfaction, not a sinful pride, that since 1981, we have sent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to foreign missions, missionaries that are preaching the gospel. And it's not done. And we're doing it all the time. We send every month. We're trying to be faithful to God. Now, God makes a promise to the church in Philippi who met the Apostle Paul's needs at least on 2 occasions, no doubt more times than that, and then at Corinth and then at Thessalonica. God makes this promise to the church of Philippi, I will supply all your needs. Look at verse 19. But my God, personal, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This is an over-the-top, supernatural, out-of-this-world promise from God. God is saying to his people, if you will just trust me, I will bless you. If you just have just enough faith to step out and trust me, I will bless you. God is not a liar. That is a promise. I want to share with you a little bit this morning about New Testament giving, and I trust and I pray that you'll understand what is said and you'll not misunderstand anything that I say. Fundamental Baptist Church is not about getting money. There are charlatans galore. There are slick operators in every direction. But I want you to know there's the real McCoy as well. I sat at lunch on Thursday, and I realized it when I was sitting there. I was sitting and having lunch with two millionaires in northern Wisconsin. I mean, and I'm both of these men are servants of God. Amen. One of them told me on the side, he said, and this guy has been richly blessed of God. He said, Tim, I have got no interest in making more money. I got all I need. I don't need anything more. And I found that it's not enough on its own. He said, I'm praying that God will give me $300 million. And if anybody can do it, it's this guy. He's in real estate in Santa Clara, right? The other guy is a 83-year-old man. His name is Howard Patz. Probably, other than his dad and his mama, who are in heaven, the most spiritual man in that family. And I sat there, and he speaks with his northern Wisconsin, Polish, Eastern European accent, this here and that, and he's the humblest man in the world. Both of these guys, this is what I was thinking while they were talking, and I pretended I was listening for just a little bit. My mind kind of wandered. Kind of does that even when I'm preaching, doesn't it? All right. So I'm thinking, I'm sitting with two men that God is using as channels. This is amazing. And here's what I heard the whole time I was with them. Souls, souls, souls. Amen. Howard, when it was done, he has his guitar in his truck, his old truck, and he's going to the nursing home. Amen. And he's going to minister. He does it almost every day of the week. His wife died and went to heaven about a year and a half ago. Man, he is so in love with his Savior. Man, I'm thinking, wow. If we could get ourselves in the place where God could bless us, here's where it starts. Be faithful in the little things. Now, this message is not to produce greed. God doesn't want us all rich. There's nowhere in the Bible where God says, I'm going to make you a millionaire. That's not it. That is not it. You're the last person God's going to make a millionaire if that's your goal in life. You might be able to struggle and cheat and climb your way to the top, but it's without the blessing of God. You need to be faithful with what God has given to you. Go to Malachi 3:10, and I wasn't going to read this, and it's not in my outline, but I think I've got to start there, and I've got four things I want to share with you that I'm going to make it as quickly as I can. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 10. This is our responsibility as children of God. Please, if you're going to understand the promise of God, that he's going to supply all of our needs, then you need to get here. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Man, you're never going to get there. I'm never going to get there. Where we start is being faithful with the tithe. The tithe is 10%. We don't tithe. Time to go to the book of Leviticus, but it's 10% in kind. If you got 10 rutabagas, one belongs to God. If you got the 10 chickens, one belongs to God. If you get $100, your tithe is $10. If you got a dollar, your tithe is 10 cents. I'm pretty impressed with myself as far as my math this morning. $1,000, you got $100. That's as high as I'm going to go right there. That belong to God. And he says here in Malachi, the prophet Malachi says, and if you're keeping that 10%, you are robbing. Look at chapter 3. You are robbing God. You might just as well stick up the church house and take the offering because you're robbing from God. But you know who loses? You. That's right. God doesn't need your money. That's right. And if you're greedy and selfish about it, I'll just tell you as the pastor of this church, keep your money. We don't want it here. We don't want it. No way. No how. We have not taken an offering since March of 2020 at Fundamental Baptist Church, outside the old school gathering because of the visiting preachers that were here. But we just got those boxes in the back. Our offerings have never been better. And God is, people are finding that God will take care of me. I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Go to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verses 7 through 9. I already mentioned the tithe. By the way, that isn't the law. You say, you just said it was in the book of Leviticus. Abraham tithed 430 years before the Mosaic law was ever given to man. You say, where did Abraham learn that? From Adam. Genesis in chapter 14 through 17, man, they were tithing before the law. Tithing is not law. This is going to shake you right down to your piggy bank. The tithe is just the beginning. It's just the starting point. That's a baby step. Now, what I want to share right now is it's part of our worship. Psalm 96, verse 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Go to 1 Chronicles and chapter 2 and verse 24. 21 and verse 24. David had numbered the people. He'd sinned against God. God said, I'm going to give you a choice. It's going to be this or this. Both of them are judgment. Terrible judgment upon the nation Israel. David said, man, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I don't know what to do. God, I throw myself at your mercy. You do what needs to be done. And God always judges sin. And you read up in verse 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, and having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I, it is that have sinned and done this evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. And God stayed the hand of the Lord, angel of the Lord, and the judgment stopped. And David owed God so much, the nation is spared, the people, all the men that died, that God had stayed his hand of judgment. Look what it says now in verse 23. Now David wants to do something. By the way, this is worship. Think of what God has done for you in redeeming your soul. Think of what God has done for you in redeeming the souls of your wife, your husband, your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren. Think of what God has done. Look what it says here in verse 23. Here's David's response. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee. David asked, let me read 22. Then David said unto Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it to me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for the burnt offering, and the threshing floor, instruments of wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. And David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. He said, I will not offer God sacrifices that is not a sacrifice. David said, I have come to worship God. And he builds this altar here and he worships God. But it cost him something. And I kind of relate that to the tithe this morning and my worship. I'm saved by grace. It's the mercy of God. When this life is o'er, or the rapture sounds, the sound of the trumpet, I go home to heaven, and it's the mercy and the grace of God. If I could just get clear-eyed spiritually down here in this earth right now, I'd do more than look up into the stars and say, I love you, God. I would do so much more than that, man. I would give. And the tithe is just the beginning. But here's the negative part of it. If you're a member of Fundamental Baptist Church and you're not tithing, then you're robbing. You're a taker instead of a giver. It's not worship to just come to church. Now, you know, I say all that to the mature Christian, to the baby Christian. God isn't, you can't buy God. You can't buy your salvation. I already read those verses. You don't buy influence with God by giving. The amount of money we give is not what's important. It's the proportion. It's the tithe. The widow the mites gave of her poverty. And Jesus said, she's blessed. The Pharisee that gave of his wealth, nothing. There was no sacrifice there. So we're called of God to tithe. You say, preacher, how should we give? Well, let's just kind of focus for just a moment. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. You know what I don't like about my preaching? I have this real nice outline, and I forget it. I lose it. I start preaching, and I'm not even there. And so there's no flow. And sometimes when I'm preaching, it feels like it's a little herky-jerky, and I'm kind of jumping around just a little bit. I hope maybe you don't feel that way. I hope the Spirit of God is moving in your life and in your heart. But the fact is, New Testament tithing, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, talks about giving. And there's just a few things that I want to point out here. And listen, it does need to be from the heart. It does need to be because of love and devotion. When I write out the tithe check, my wife actually writes out the tithe check, but I bring it to church. When I bring it, it's like part of my worship. God, you were good to me this week. God, you met my needs again this week. Here's my tithe. Here's my tithe plus right here. And it's part of my worship. It's part of the reason I come to church. Now, the last thing I want is for anybody to think we're about money here. That's not it. But at the same time, I don't want to rob you of blessing. I don't want to cheat you by not preaching the whole counsel of God. We are responsible as good stewards to be faithful and tithe to the local church, to the storehouse, Malachi chapter 3. It says here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That's interesting that Israel, Old Testament Israel, was never told to take up offerings on the first day of the week. The first day of the week is the Lord's Day. It's Sunday. That's when the New Testament church meets. Why do we call it the Lord's Day? It's the day, it's resurrection morning. And so we fellowship and we celebrate the living Savior on the first day of the week. Early church did more than the first day of the week, but here we are. And he says, listen, Paul said to the church of Corinth, number one, he said, I want you to give on the first day of the week. Number two, I want everyone to lay in store as God hath prospered them. How much? It's a proportion. Again, it is not the amount of money. It's about being faithful. Just being faithful to God. It is the proper proportion is 10%. And I think I can take you to the law and show you it's a lot more than 10%. A lot more. Praise God, we're not under the law. Praise God, this is the New Testament. But Abraham tithed before the law. And to put it in perspective, I think I already said this, 430 years before the law. Now, this is New Testament. It's the church age. The law has been fulfilled, but that proportion has already been identified in the Word of God, even before the law. And I'm just telling you, if you'll be faithful to God, He may not make you rich, but He'll meet your every need. And you'll have the peace of God. The result is the work of God prospers. But I want to say this so you can understand it. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your measly $10, $100, $1,000. God doesn't need your $100,000. He don't need it. He is God. And He's going to bless one way or the other those that are faithful. But we get to be part of it. Does that make sense? I hope it does. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Go back a few chapters. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So, New Testament tithing, first day of the week, who? Everybody. As God has prospered us, everybody. How are we to do it? Faithfully. That's what the Word of God tells us. Stewardship. It's not business, but it's a steward. Here's the way I like to look at it. And this is the way I look at it for my household, and God has ordained the family, as well as the New Testament church. And I've got a little, if I could use it as a metaphor, a business. and the household of Tim and Debbie Rader. We are there, and God has prospered us, and God has blessed us. Now, our kids have moved on, and like every other kid, you got to help them out from time to time. But we've got our own little, God gives us, there's an income, and the first thing we do is worship God. And we write out the tithe, even when we couldn't afford it, we'd write out the tithe, and God would bless us. It is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. John Deere said, it was John Rockefeller that said, J.C. Penney that said, I would not have been able to tithe my first dollar, or for my first million, had I not tithed my first dollar. You want to read our interesting story, J.C. Penney? Well, he's a man of God. John Deere. He was a man of God. These were men that honored God. Kraft, a man of God. Sam Walton, a man of God. All those things, but it changes when it becomes a corporation. But these were men that God, they were faithful, they were good stewards. God blessed them, and God blessed them and used them as channels. Now I'm telling you, here we are in the last days. God doesn't need your checkbook. He don't need my savings account, as small as it is. And God is just looking for people to use. He's looking for people that he can bless. Mike said, Tim, I'm praying to God to give me $300 million. I got great plans. I don't need a dollar of it. By the way, he is a tither. He has always been a tither and benevolent. He is, what's the word, somebody that gives all the time? Philanthropist, that's it, all right. For some reason, I didn't want to say the word psychiatrist, but a philanthropist. New Testament tithing. When, first day of the week, who, everybody, how much? 10% according to the proportion. We're to be faithful. We're to be good stewards. We're to do it privately. Matthew chapter 6, don't turn there. And verse 3, our alms and what we give. We're not to know what the left hand, know what the right hand is doing. It's not a show. It's not a look at me. It's not, I can give more than you. That's not what it is. It's a heart thing. It's devotion. It's a love for God. It's God, you've been good to me, and I want to at least be faithful with this tithe. And then God is going to bless. Go to 2 Corinthians now and chapter 9. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. For those that have been recently born again, and there are some here this morning, there are several here this morning, you got saved this month or this year, and you maybe don't even know about this tithing. I had a lady talk to me. I was in her home one time, and she said, what's this about tithing, Pastor? I read it in the Bible. I said, well, it's tithing. And I kind of chuckled to myself, but yeah, it was just all brand new. And if you will be faithful, God is going to bless you. It says here in 2 Corinthians and chapter 9 and verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Maybe you've experienced that. We all have. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Be a big, happy giver to the work of God. That is a joy that the carnal Christian will never know. They cling to their possessions. They don't understand whatever God has put on their plate, it is for the work of God. That is a sad thing. It says, the man that is excited, and this is why we ought to be excited about the ability to give. Now it says, God loveth a cheerful giver. That Greek word there is hilarious. I don't know if I would describe my giving as hilarious, but I will tell you this. There's the most satisfying thing in the world to be used of God. Amen. It's the most satisfying thing in the world for me to put the tithe into the offering box and knowing that I'm part of something bigger than myself. And knowing I'm being faithful to God. And it's part of my devotion and part of my heart worship towards God. Look at the very next verse in verse 8. And let me say this again. You cannot out-love God. You cannot out-give God. That's not going to happen. Verse 8 says, and God is able. I circled that. I don't even need to go any further in the verse, and that verse is a blessing to me. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency, every need met, in all things may abound to every good work. God is able. There's a promise given from God in Philippians and chapter 4 in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Let me help your home finances. Let me help your struggles. Put Jesus first. Allow God to bless you. If we just put ourselves in the place where God can bless us. You will make a mistake if you send your tithe over here and over there and to that ministry over there and that. You can do that with love offerings. The tithe goes to the local church. You will make a mistake if you're not faithful with that tithe and honoring God. And I promise you this, according to the word of God, according to Holy Writ, you can't outgive God. Go to Luke in chapter 6 and verse 38. And I'm almost done. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. I am the richest poor man you'll ever see. I really feel that way. I am rich. Truthfully, I'm not poor. I'll describe my life, and it makes it sound poor, and I'm not poor at all. I don't own a house. I don't own a lawnmower. I don't own any toys, a boat, a jet ski. I own a 66 pickup that my wife has sold several times for a dollar. But other than that, man, a savings account, man, I don't think we could last a couple of weeks, maybe a month, and that's about it. But I am the richest poor man you will ever see. I have every need met. By the way, if you're a young man, you're called to preach. God will meet your every need if you serve Jesus. Now, if you start following mammon, you start following bucks, well, okay. But if you'll follow, I promise you surrender to God. You do what God has asked you to do. I know several of you are called to preach. Some of you up here in front and some of you halfway back. You've been called of God to preach. He's going to meet your every need. God takes care of his servants. I promise you that. Look what it says in Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. You understand what he's saying there? With the same measure that you meet. If you're faithful, if you're the good steward, if you're the giver, you're the one that pours himself or herself into other people. Money just flows through you. You're that channel. God said, I am going to outgive you every single time. It says here in this passage that you'll be given good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Anybody notice there aren't as many potato chips in the potato chip bag anymore? Anybody notice that? Here, there's some words of wisdom from an old man, a connoisseur of potato chips. The first thing they did is they had these big bags and then they put less potato chips in it. And then after that, they didn't fool me. I saw it happen. They made the bag smaller. And then they put less potato chips in it again. I'm telling you, they're taking our potato chips. As a child of God, that's not the way it is with God. It says here that we are going to be given good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's like God pours even more into it if we honor God. Now, again, let me help you in your household because you will never make ends meet. You've got to just have to keep working more overtime all the time. You will never make ends meet until you honor God. You will never have enough. Even though you could be 10 times as rich as you are right now, 10 years from now, it won't be enough. But if you honor God, you'll be rich in the things that really matter. And God made the promise, Matthew 6:33, Philippians 4:19, I'll meet your every need. Say, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. Let me be blunt with you. You can't afford not to tithe. You're already finding that out. Honor God. And again, this isn't about greed. It's not a health and wealth and peace and prosperity sermon of some false gospel that God wants you rich and God is going to make you a millionaire and you'll get a new boat. I'm not telling you that at all. I'm telling you, you'll be part of that family of God that knows the direct blessing of God. Good measure. Shaken. Pressed down and running over. It's a good life.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.